This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to the Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your spooky hosts.
And say your name.
Tom.
And I'm the other spooky host, Tim.
Tim, wait. I forgot to say my name because halfway through I remember that it's going to be Halloween month by the time
Happy
this comes
Halloween
out.
Happy Halloween month.
Happy Halloween month.
Ooh, the the cleverest theme month in all of podcasting.
How about instead of happy Halloween month, scary Halloween month?
Oh, how about a scary Halloween?
Don't say month.
You gotta say month because that's
well,
what it is.
Then you can't say the same first word.
I know. I was gonna change one of the other words, but the other two words are integral to the communication. Mm-hmm. That needs to be happening.
Yeah.
Tim, all right. Scary Halloween month.
There's a reason why there's only one Crypt Keeper. And it's because somebody like him, he can spit out those scary related puns, no problem.
Yeah, he doesn't need some other jackass like being like, oh, I have an alt, and then doesn't even have an alt at all. Not even ready. Misunderstands the assignment.
Yeah. He would say, you have an alt, I have an axe. They'd chop you with the axe.
Yeah. I mean, you could have done that.
You
could have chopped me with an axe.
I don't know where my axe is right now. I know where it is.
Where's
Hang
one
on.
Of your many guns that you have in your
It's
own?
Not an axe. It's like a little hatchet. It's not even that good of a hatchet. I brought it camping. It sucks as a hatchet.
What did you get it for? You have a little hatchet in your New York City apartment?
It's like I got it for camping. Just to have some kind of hatchet.
In case a mountain man came and attacked you in the
night. It's good for like firewood and stuff, you know, or getting sticks.
We're doing a fears episode right now, Tom. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into that, but when you go camping,
yes,
what is your biggest fear?
Ooh.
Is it bear?
Or mountain man.
Or mountain man.
Probably mountain man. For some bizarre reason, I think I'd be able to talk to a bear.
You can reason with a bear. You can't reason with a mountain man.
Yeah, it seems
intent
like it's
on
easier.
Killing. Like, a bear isn't there like, oh, I'm going to approach that tent and kill whatever's inside.
It's like
the bear's
food.
Just like, oh, I'm hungry. So, like, you can figure that out.
Yeah.
A mountain man, he's made up his mind. He's out for blood.
You can do things to prevent a bear from coming into your campsite. You can't do shit to prevent a mountain man.
No, you'll be like, oh, great job freaking tying your food up in a tree. I don't care about that. No. Try tying your blood up in a tree because that's what I'm after.
You put a string with bells on it or cans attached around the campsite. Okay. So you knew I was coming 5 seconds before I chopped you to bits. It didn't do you an inch of good.
Well, unless you have your little hatchet with you.
Mm-hmm. No, it's like a little hatchet. It's stupid. It's such a bad design.
You order so much camping gear for a guy that like doesn't go camping all that often.
And I never spend any kind of like anything more than like, I don't know, $10 to $15 on any piece of camping gear.
I know.
So I have a lot of really crappy camping gear.
Yeah.
Including this hatchet. The hatchet had a Swiss Army knife in the handle. So it just meant it wasn't a good hatchet or a good knife.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, I was thinking, oh, you'll cut your hand when you're trying to use the hatchet. I don't think that.
I put the knife inside. Yeah. I don't keep it out.
Right. You bought a camping chair, Tom.
Yes.
and you brought it to, you know, during COVID, we a bunch of us, like, you know, a our friend group would meet up for park hangs. We'd go to a lovely public park and sit there. And one time, the first time you brought this camping chair, and I dragged you for having this camping
chair.
Not
only you, like, everybody dragged
me. I riled everybody up. I was a rabble rouser.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because, like, without me getting it, and we were all just relentlessly mocking you. You turned all red. You stormed off. By like the third park hang, everybody had the same exact style
camping chair. Every new park hang, somebody had gotten the chair.
Did they like sheepishly like text you like, "Hey, this is a little embarrassing, but like, where'd you get that camping chair?"
No, that's the thing. At least one or two people, when I was like, "Hey, you got the camping chair? Like, where'd you get it?" They'd be like, "REI." I was like, "How much was it?" $160. I was like, "No. $18 on Amazon." That's what this is.
Go to Alibaba.com. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, my camping chair is still riding strong.
Hey. I mean, you don't use it a lot, right?
No. I mean, and
we haven't had a park hang
in
years.
And I don't think anybody who bought one of these chairs uses it a ton either. That's the thing. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't say our spooky Halloween names.
No, we didn't. I'm oh, buddy.
Let's just use the ones from yesteryear, from years past.
Tomb?
You're Tomb and I'm Skeleton.
Yeah, Tomb and Skeleton.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, no need for new.
No, I think those are good names.
Those are great names.
Well, we had to plus it up every year.
Yeah. Tim, we walked into a Halloween party today and introduced ourselves that way, half the party would die of fright.
Yeah. I wasn't prepared for it. I was prepared for some frights.
But not like
but
this.
But nothing on this level.
Yeah.
Well, Halloween party, you figure you're going to get scared.
You're going to get scared. You're going to get startled a few times. Well, Tim, to kick off Halloween month, we're talking about fear. Fear, fears, fear. The idea of fear.
Okay.
Which
would you say fear is a factor in your life?
Tim, fear is a factor in everybody's life, except for one woman who I'll talk about later. Evel Knievel's wife.
Evel Knievel's wife must have been so afraid.
I don't think
Evel,
he can hold down a marriage.
It's okay.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, he couldn't hold down a marriage because his wives were like, "Oh, I can't take it. My heart can't take it."
Yeah, that happens a lot with like
jumping over all those barrels and whatnot. What do you jump over? Barrels, I think.
Yeah, all kinds of shit. Yeah. And I think he was like kind of I mean, I don't know. I'm not an Evel Knievel expert.
Right.
But I think one of the reasons why, like, we know this, like, stuntman's name.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's evil.
Well, it's
Which
a good
is
name,
a cool
Evel
name.
Knievel.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's because, like,
part
of
it. Come to think of it, it rhymes, too. Sorry, go on.
Part of it, I think, is that I think he, like, somewhat frequently, like, failed and crashed in ways that you would think would kill a normal man.
Right.
But he, and it would be like, well, he's broken every bone in his body, and they're going to have to glue his spine
That's
back
the
together.
Announcer?
Yeah.
Nice. That's how I think. That's yeah.
Never, oh, never looks seen like Evil's really done it this time. Oh, that spine's never going to be the same again.
Jesse Ventura was
but
stuntman color commentator.
But he always got back up again until he died. But I think he died.
I don't think he died in a motorcycle.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
He died of old age.
Something. Or maybe cancer or like a heart attack. Something like not in a stunt is essentially.
Right.
His son died.
Robbie Knievel?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think so. He died somewhat recently.
Hold on.
All right.
First of all, he had two wives.
At the same time?
No.
Okay.
Linda Joan Bork.
I was going to say, that would be the craziest stunt a man's ever pulled.
He was married to Linda Joan Bork, Tom.
Uh-huh.
From Bork. 19... Bork.
That's not a last name.
Bork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
B-O-R-K?
Yeah. You ever hear of a Supreme Court justice getting borked?
Borked?
Bork.
A Supreme Court justice?
Well, he almost became a Supreme Court. Jesus Christ.
A Supreme Corn.
That's probably why they were like,
no, somebody's gonna say that during an important court case.
He was married to her from 1959 to 1997, Tom. Okay, that was a long. And then the other one, Crystal Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Guess how Crystal is spelled?
With a K?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a Y.
So she was KK.
Yeah. 1999, divorced in 2001. That wasn't that long.
Yeah.
I don't know how he died.
It says here he died of a broken heart.
He had been suffering. Oh, how old do you think Evel Knievel was when he died?
68.
Remarkable. 69.
Nice.
Tom, don't do that. Diabetes and idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis.
Okay.
Sad.
Yeah.
But what are we saying? Robbie Knievel?
Yeah, I think Robbie Knievel died somewhat recently.
Robbie Knievel death is an he died at 60.
Yeah. Okay, well, he outlived his old man.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. I forgot how
numbers were. In years. He lived, he died at a later date.
That's what I meant.
All right. Well, we don't need to pancreatic cancer, that's very sad.
Yeah. Well, good thing you ground the show to a halt to find
out.
You
were the one who was like, I think Robbie Knievel died.
Yeah, but I didn't say either of them died doing stunts.
They didn't.
Tim, I want to talk about the idea of having no fear at all.
Oh, like the shirt, the shirt. Prophesized.
Tim, I have a hypothesis. So I looked into no fear and...
We're getting into the topic.
The topic, fear. Yeah. Fear. I looked into No Fear, the brand.
Mm-hmm. Good clothes. High quality stitching on those shirts.
Were they? I feel like every No Fear shirt I ever saw as like a kid or teen was like very worn.
Oh, I was thinking it was more like boxy and like scratchy a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they were like good quality shirts.
No.
But it was for race car driver, or like racers. I think some were BMX, not BMX. Motocross.
You're saying they were
the people who started it. They were all okay. They were dudes that had no fear.
So it was meant to be worn by.
I think it was
BMX
just,
guys?
Not BMX. It was like motocross and NASCAR. Like, I think these were guys. Tim, these were guys who just like going fast on things. But they were all professional racers.
Okay.
And they started this company, No Fear. And people dug it. People liked
it. So they all had like phrases. Mm-hmm. Like, second place is the first loser.
No Fear did. I don't know if these men had phrases that they said that became the shirts.
Oh, wait, you're talking about something other than the shirts?
I'm talking about the men who came up with the company.
Of No Fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they came, I assume somebody in the company came up with the phrases.
Yeah,
I
don't know if it was them, Tim. They might have just been the money men.
Yeah, who cares?
They do, because they're rich off of No Fear right
now.
That's
true.
But I find it very suspicious, Tim, that when I was looking up about No Fear, I read about a woman who around the same time No Fear really took off had no fear herself.
But have no fear, the Norwegian is here. I'm trying to look up... No Fear shirt
slogan. I looked
slogans.
It up. There's not really anything.
There is even one that was like, you miss 100% of the shots you never take or whatever. It's like, that doesn't have anything to do with like badass.
Isn't that
fear.
Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah, it's they took the Wayne Gretzky quote.
I mean, they ran out of things to
Well, we can't even think of
bad.
One besides second place is the first loser, which I had, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I had that shirt.
Yeah.
I never came in first place in any like thing in my
but
life.
But he never came in second place either.
That's true. Yeah, third place is fine.
Eighth or ninth place doesn't even count.
Did not place. Yeah, I'm not a loser at all.
Tim,
it's almost like I wasn't even there.
You ever hear about these medical oddities? These people that I know, like a famous one. I forget what his initials were, but they just go by their initials.
I don't know.
They don't go by them, but like
I know about medical oddities as a thing.
I just remember there's like a medical oddity that it was a guy who had the memory of a goldfish.
Okay, so he just had like a brain tumor?
Yeah, he had like some kind of accident or something, yeah. But he could only remember. It was like Memento. Like he literally couldn't, he had no short-term memory.
Yeah, of course. Like that's a thing.
Or he had short-term memory, he couldn't turn it into long-term memory.
Okay.
Well, there's another woman. It has nothing to do with that. Well, a little bit. Brain injury or brain problem. This woman named SM. She had a...
Sarah Marshall.
Oh, Tim, you're not supposed to dox people on her. And you were supposed to forget about her.
I know. Especially now that that movie's going to get buried.
Yeah. But this woman, I don't think I have it in my notes, but she had some kind of, disease that like affected her amygdala.
Okay.
Which
whenever anybody's like, oh, let me tell you the specific part of the brain. It's like, just say brain.
Well, but do you know about the amygdala?
No, I don't know about any.
Tim, you're here
brain.
Doing a show about the amygdala and you don't know about, or you're doing a show about fear. You don't know about the amygdala.
Tell me about the amygdala.
It's where fear comes from. Oh. Well, it's
that's all you know about it because you read about it in this.
That's the part of the brain that people refer to as like the lizard brain.
Right.
That's like the most primitive part. It's the most basic. Like that's where fight or flight comes from. Just very basic like survival instincts.
Gotcha. I feel like in the last 15 years,
mm-hmm.
there have been so many books and articles written that are like, you know why we do this? This is actually our caveman brain, and yeah. We evolve. It's like, okay, that's cool. Like, hey, do you know why you like coffee? It's because actually predators used to like have the... It's like, all right, that's... I don't need to know why I like things or why I'm afraid of things.
You have no interest.
I don't care about like the evolutionary reason of
why
like...
Why don't you care?
Because
isn't that a little bit interesting?
It's a little bit interesting at first, uh-huh. But it's like... They apply it to everything about like why you crave
sometimes
foods and stuff. It's like, all right, I don't need to know. Like, okay, so like hundreds of thousands of years ago, man had to contend with this. It's like,
yeah.
All right, just.
Well, I get what you're talking about because there are some articles like that that I feel go a little over. They're jumping to conclusions. They're
also like. Even if they're making it up mm-hmm. or it's super true,
yeah,
like it doesn't change the fact that like, I get nervous when I go under in the subway
under the knife.
Under the knife.
Well, Tim, if you want, you want to keep looking so beautiful. It's the price. The price you have to pay. The price of the knife.
Would you ever get work done, Tom?
Probably not. I don't think so. Never say never. But because like I think if somebody came to me and they were like, this is like George Clooney's guy.
Yeah.
And it's on George. Where I would know
Clooney's foot in the bill.
I'm not gonna come out looking like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna look where people are like, damn, he looks great for his age. And look at all these other people getting work done. This guy's never gotten anything done.
Yeah.
But also the problem with that is that's why you gotta have George Clooney pay for it. Because what I've heard, like why it makes sense, speaking of brains. You see,
because
people...
cavemen were protecting themselves against saber-toothed tigers, so they knew that the moon, it's all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, whatever. Sorry, anyway.
When you see people with insane plastic surgery that mm-hmm. just looks awful, a lot of times the reason why that's happened is because the person has said, well, I'm paying X amount of money. I better be able to like really see results.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to pay $20,000 to look 5 years younger.
Right.
They want to pay that to look
pretty cool though.
They want to look 20 years younger.
Right. But that doesn't work. You can't do that.
You can, but it's...
No, you
it's,
can't. Clooney isn't going like, oh, you look 20
exactly.
years younger.
Yeah. I'm saying you can try, but yeah.
Oh, you can try, but you can't achieve that.
Yeah, you won't pull it off. Yeah, with people that like, I don't know, try and get rid of all their wrinkles when they're like 80 years old, or people who are bald that all of a sudden have like a full head of hair. Because
that's
again,
cool. I think that's cool.
But again, you don't want to, if you're going through something like that, it's not, if you're getting like a hair transplant and you're like, all right, give me like 10,000 hairs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, this is what you're going to look like. They might go like, you know, 15,000 hairs. You might think it's like 50% more. It's actually only 20% more because, you know, a lot of the fees in while we're in there, we
or
can
the
just
prices.
See this.
I was like, all right. Like,
yeah. So then you're
I
like,
I thought they were trying to like do math, funny math about the number of hair follicles.
No, but it's just like while we've got you opened up, then we can put more in there. And then you're like, oh, man, that'll look like I'm 20 years old again. And then you come out and you look silly.
Yeah.
So that's the problem with plastic surgery, Tim.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why I won't get it. Unless
I also don't understand why. Like,
picks
I don't think
bill.
Civilians need it. Like, I know a guy and his grew up with him.
Mm-hmm.
His mom would get a facelift once in a while.
Yeah.
It's like, you're just some lady living in a house. you don't need, like, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get doing it, like, because it makes you feel good. Like,
sure.
It makes you feel more confident, but I think a lot of times with that, it doesn't. Like,
yeah. No, it's fine. I'm not shaming anybody who does. Yeah. I just feel like, we all got to, like, normalize. Like, we're all going to, like, all our faces are going to hang low. And, like, who are you
rotting.
That you need to look good? Who do you think you are? Oh, poor you.
If I came in here next week, Tim, smooth as a baby.
It wouldn't happen like that. You'd have to be like, I've come down with something. And like, I wouldn't see you for 3 weeks while all that.
I was just like massively swollen.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was going to say, the amygdala, Tim, this is why you should care about the brain a little bit. It's where flight or fight comes from. And
fight
it's where,
or flight, more commonly known.
It's where fear comes from.
Right.
And that's one of the big problems with human fear. And I know you have anxiety. I have anxiety. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That everybody has anxiety to some degree, but it becomes a problem when something, you know, like a social situation triggers your amygdala, and your amygdala thinks, oh, this like party that you're walking into where you don't know anyone, so you're a little anxious about it. The brain doesn't really have like a great scale of anxiety. So it just is like, like flip the switch from when we would see a saber-toothed tiger. Do that reaction to that person. Flood them with adrenaline so that they're ready to fight for their life and run. Increase their heart rate. Increase their breathing. So they're just like, if they're going down, they're going down with a fight. And it's like, well, no, it's just like a social. So I think for some people, knowing that that's what's doing that, your amygdala helps to kind of realize, oh, yeah, it's not. I feel like I'm going to die right now, or I feel like I'm about to get killed. But it's really just that I have like a fear of public speaking.
Yeah, this is why I've gotten my amygdala removed.
Oh, so let me talk about this woman, SM, who she had some like incredibly rare disease that like 400 people have. I think there's like 400 cases, but it like ruined her amygdala, basically. So this lady, Tim, she had no fear in 1993.
I had no fear in 1993 as well.
So they like did a whole study on her. And they exposed her to snakes and spiders. She didn't care, including tarantulas. And then they took her through like a haunted house. She didn't care. Showed her clips. And keep in mind, does this make sense? 1993, the Blair Witch Project?
No, that doesn't make sense.
What?
This
whole thing is bunk. That might have been like somebody in the Wikipedia article. So she would not be scared. She would just be interested or curious or excited about them. But she expressed emotions appropriate to the film content, such as happiness and disgust.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers.
They could have shown her a scarier movie.
The Exorcist? Blair Witch? The Shining?
Oh, The Exorcist.
Oh, no. That's what we're reading on Books of Podcasts. What I'm reading on Books of Podcasts. But The Silence of the Lambs, I almost read.
Right.
Those are scary. And she's not immune to all fear. Along with other patients with, it's bilateral amygdala damage. This is terrifying, Tim. Listen to this. She was found to experience fear and panic attacks of greater intensity than the neurologically healthy controls in response to simulation of the subjective experience of suffocation via carbon dioxide inhalation. Feelings which she and the others described as completely novel to them. So basically, they couldn't find a way to scare this woman. They were like, let's try suffocating her. And she experienced fear for the first time. So then it was like,
how much is she being paid for these?
Then it was like over the top fear, because it was like, I'm going to die. What the fuck is this feeling? I've never been afraid of dying before.
Mm.
They finally
got that amygdala up and running, huh? They rebooted it.
Or like, it's like that amygdala is running at like 5%, and that's enough that like the fear of suffocation elicited some response.
Yeah.
She's very outgoing, extremely friendly, and uninhibited, as well as being, quote, somewhat coitish.
Somewhat what?
Coitish.
What does that mean?
Flirty.
Oh.
Flirt. Like, oh, don't be coy.
Oh, wait, can you spell that for me?
Or maybe it's croquettish? Coquettish. I thought it was coitish. And having an abnormally high desire and tendency to approach others. So part of the problem was she could not sense fear in other people,
mm-hmm.
but also she could not sense danger. And apparently, like, was frequently in very dangerous situations because she just didn't really understand them. And then even when she was in a dangerous situation, she wasn't scared. How old was she?
Yeah.
I think at the time the study was taken, she was, like, in her mid-30s.
Okay. So, like, just social cues.
Mm-hmm.
You have to intellectually understand, right? Like, even if you're not fearful, you know, like, when something is dangerous from, like,
No, because
35 years.
She wasn't afraid of anything.
Yeah, like, I'm not afraid.
So, like, she learned, okay, don't touch a hot stove, that hurts, but she wasn't afraid of touching it.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of touching it.
But I think what would happen,
I'm not like, whoa, how did that, well, duh. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times what would happen,
like, hot, do not touch. It's not like because I'm afraid of it. It's also like, does it mean that like you don't know that it will hurt you?
I think it's, you know, but also you're like, you're just not afraid of it.
This lady's a fraud. She wanted to, she was angling for this no fear t-shirt like endorsement deal.
I don't think so, Tim, because, you know, she didn't even ever reveal her name. Apparently, not a joke. She was in some kind of domestic violence situation, but she had been like held at knife point and at gunpoint. And in all these cases, I think like made the situation worse because it was like somebody's holding a gun at her and she's like, all right.
But she again.
But she doesn't want to die, but she's not afraid of dying.
I know, but she knows.
I don't think you do know. I think it's hard to, like, wrap your head around.
But she knows somebody's pointing a gun at me.
Yeah.
I've seen movies. I've seen John Wick.
Yeah.
We're
she hadn't, but yes.
I mean, it's just as plausible that she saw the Blair
Death
Witch.
Wish.
Yeah. I understand
with Charles Bronson.
That if somebody pulls the trigger when pointing the gun at me,
mm-hmm.
that I could die.
Yeah.
You understand that.
And then I die. All right, whatever. I'm
okay,
not afraid
of
that. I'm not afraid of dying. So I think that was just kind of what permeated. I think just like never having an instinct of fear. Think about how many like stupid things you do if like your gut isn't telling you, hey, don't do that.
I mean, that is very true. Like, I guess when I was 18, 19, like when...
Yeah, when you think you're invincible.
Yeah, and I look back on things that I did. I was like, how was I not... Like, why would I have done that? That could have killed me. It's like, I didn't think it would
kill
me.
Yeah, and like, I didn't...
And like,
I wasn't
afraid. It was like, it didn't occur to me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think that's what it is to her. It just like doesn't occur to her. Somebody pulls a gun on her, and I think it was like, oh, this is going to be like a funny story. But like, nothing bad happens to me. I'm not afraid of bad things happening.
One of the shirts says, does not play well with others.
Wow.
And then in parentheses, it seems others have a problem with losing.
Brutal. That's a brutal shirt, Tim. You can make somebody cry wearing that shirt.
To err is human. To lose is unheard of.
I mean, certainly they've heard of losing.
It's unheard of. And then my favorite, you talk the talk. Can you walk the walk?
Wow.
No fear.
Yeah, wear that down to the basketball court, see what happens.
Get your ass kicked.
Or people are going to walk the walk. Or they're going to stop talking the talk.
Yeah.
One time I played like a pickup basketball game when I was a teenager. I made a three-pointer. It was
great. We retired.
I think that was like the last pickup game I ever played. Went out on top.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Tom, I hope our listeners don't have a fear of lists Because we have a lot of lists.
We do. We have a few different lists, Tim. Maybe we should start with... should we start with maybe the most common fears?
Yeah, as long as it's in list form.
It's a list, Tim. This is...
We've entered the list portion of the episode.
This is some of the most common fears in America. And these...
Are these not going to be funny? Is it going to be like... having a medical emergency and not having the funds. mass shooting.
No, none. Okay. None. Because
those are the fears that I have.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of these fears, they are. I wouldn't say they're uncommon. In fact, I would say they're some of the most common, as I had said earlier. The first one, public speaking.
Okay.
I don't have a fear of public speaking.
Don't you though? Don't we all?
I have a little bit, but like I know of people and I've heard of people that have a debilitating fear of public speaking. That I don't have at all. Like I have
me neither.
I have a little bit of a fear, and especially before we started doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I did shit on stage in high school. Like that to me was less fearful than like going into a social situation where I'd rather be on stage.
Agreed.
In front of an audience where I don't know anyone than a social situation where I don't know anyone.
Do you feel, I agree, but do you feel but as you're getting unique. Older
mm-hmm.
that you have more of a fear of being on stage?
No, I think if anything, I have less of a fear of social situations because I like don't give as much of a shit as I used to.
I have more of a fear of public speaking because I think I realize how like dumb I am.
This long?
Yeah, yeah.
You were dumb.
It's my amygdala doesn't or whatever regulates you knowing how dumb you are. when I was young, I was like, I'm the smartest guy alive. And now I'm just like, I don't know so much compared to smart people.
Yeah, Tim, that would explain why when you were young, you held all those symposiums that nobody showed exactly. up to.
And some people showed up to them. They're all dead now.
Number two.
They died young. None of them had any fear.
Number two, fear of heights.
Do you have a fear of heights?
Yes, I've always had a fear of heights, and then one time I went rappelling, and it got rid of my fear of heights for like 10 years, and now I have a fear of heights again, but it's not as bad as it used to be.
Hey, I'm not afraid of height. I'm afraid of
falling.
Fall.
Yeah,
hitting the ground. I'm not afraid of falling. I'm afraid of hitting the ground. Right? Is that the joke?
Sure.
You know the joke I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
The joke is, I think, I'm not afraid of falling. I'm afraid of hitting the ground.
Get what the joke is.
Well, you acted like it wasn't a joke, that it was just like a point I was making. Yeah. I was just making a point over here.
You were just misremembering an old tired joke.
Anyway, I remembered it correctly, I think. But the thing about fear of heights, Tom, I think I have a fear of heights, but I'm also... freaking thrilled by it. I love a roller coaster. I love I love a big tall slide, but I don't know what I've been in like a
you
big,
love
tall
the
slide.
Idea of one.
Yeah. Or like a water slide. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the big water slide. Tom, that's what I've been on, a big tall slide. So I'm thrilled by it. But at the same time, I think that thrill comes from the fear.
Yeah, and that's not, again...
What does the amygdala have to say about that? Does that also... Is that connected to the fun part of the brain, too?
I mean, a part of it is that your amygdala is producing a bit of that fear response. So you're getting the adrenaline.
Right,
you're
right.
getting the increased heart rate. You're excited. The problem is when it goes beyond that. And I think that's true for a lot of people that we like having, and that's why like roller coasters they used to scare me a lot because I didn't like not having control.
Right. But then you realize how controlled they are.
Yeah. Once I realized, this is, it's not up to the 15-year-old pulling the lever here.
Right.
Some engineer figured this out to be foolproof. It's fine.
Some 31-year-old engineer 25 years ago figured this out.
They don't let them design roller coasters till they're at the end of their career and they've learned everything. Number three, fear of bugs and insects.
Are you afraid of bugs?
A little bit, but again, not debilitating.
What are you afraid of when you see
a bug? Getting like bit or stung or touching something gross.
Yeah, I think that's mostly what it is. Gross stuff for me.
Yeah, it's mostly just that.
But
it's
I don't know if
gross.
That's a fear. I think that is a natural reaction to like evolutionarily.
Yes.
Or the cavemen realized like slugs are gross.
I don't think that that's what they're not talking about. Cavemen weren't afraid of slugs.
They weren't afraid. That's what I'm saying. I'm not afraid. I don't think the cavemen were
that's
afraid.
How we
but
learned,
I think they were like, ugh.
That's how we learn that if you put salt on a slug, it will shrivel
Did
up and die.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
I know, but isn't that like you tortured a slug? I did that too. Like we did it as a family. It's like, hey, there's a slug out there. Let's pour salt on it and watch it like suffer and like.
I was under the impression that it taught the other slugs a lesson.
I'm sure it
did. And you would get fewer slugs in general once they saw
that. Nobody wants a slug.
Yeah. Number four, fear of flying.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, I
used to have like a real bad fear.
Yeah. You. Used to have, I would say, a worse than average fear. I think not everybody. I guess there are some people that just fly so much, but like people that don't fly all the time for their job or whatever, everybody's got like a little bit of a.
Yeah, it's an unusual. Like when you're like, oh, you're safer than in a car. It's like, yeah, but I'm in a car all the time.
Yeah, I'm not frequently 30,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
In fact, the only time I am is when I'm in one of these things.
Usually, yeah. I used to hate the lack of control until I realized what an idiot I am. And I was like, look.
I'm not going to be able to fly this
There's
plane.
Like a real grown-up, accomplished grown-up who like studied this and trained for this doing the thing. They're better at flying the plane than I would be.
In some cases, I need control. If it's Sully, for example.
Yeah.
But I was just reading about...
Oh, when I get on a plane, I always insist on Chesley Sully Sullenberger...
Flying it. How come, like, one of these billionaires doesn't use their money to be like, guess what, Chesley Sully Sullenberger? You're a billionaire now, too, because I'm paying you to be my private pilot.
Yeah.
And the clout that would come with that... Forget like Jeff Bezos building the biggest yacht ever. If he was like, I'm so rich, fucking Sully flies my planes.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to kill me.
If I were Sully, I'd stop flying.
He did.
Yeah, well, he stopped because he didn't need a job. He's like, I'll write a book or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
like, he was like, I think he was close to retirement age anyway.
But like, he's still like flying around in planes, right?
What do you mean?
Like
for fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still...
I wouldn't do that shit. Because, like, what happens if you crash the plane? And then, you know, you should be revered upon your death as a hero because
be
of
like
the miracle.
Old Henry story.
And, like, people are going to be like, well, I guess that guy wasn't worth shit after all.
Well, I guess those birds eventually got to sell it.
Yeah, looks like you got lucky that one time.
Yeah. Well, Tim, the fact that you think like that is what separates you from Sully.
It's true. I fully recommend that.
I fully recommend Sully.
I fully recommend the movie Sully, directed by Clint Eastwood. Still haven't seen it.
It's not good. Even having Tom Hanks, still like... Because they have
to... Just had him play himself.
They have to create a conflict, so it's the whole movie is like, oh boy,
the FAA
is going after him. When it's like, no, the entire world lifted this guy up on their shoulders.
I think they didn't investigate it.
No, like the FAA
they
needed to hold a hearing because there was a fucking plane crash, but it was like a 2-day hearing where they were like. We find the defendant a hero and marched him out of there singing, he's a jolly good fellow. Number five, fear. I've got this one. Fear of tight or confined spaces, claustrophobia.
Yeah. I don't ever want to be alive in a coffin.
That goes, Tim, I'd say that's probably a wish most people have. I don't have like claustrophobia in like elevators or tunnels or anything like that, really. When I have claustrophobia is if I can't move my body. Like if I'm, and not in, like I don't really care that much. I don't like crowds, but I'm not afraid of crowds. But if I'm in a physical space where I can't turn, like watching videos of people going in those caves where they're like having to like hold their breath and pull themselves forward.
Oh my God, yeah.
That is like an unbelievable nightmare scenario for me that I would never, ever, if I ever physically got stuck somewhere, I think I'd like die of fright.
Have you ever
fright.
Been, yeah. Did you ever get pushed into a pull-out couch when you were a kid?
No, but I can see that that would, yeah, that would trigger that kind of
thing. Like a sleepover or something, you're messing around with your friends. Oh, it's yeah, like, yeah, the pull-out couch is it. Like, let's fold Tommy up in there.
Yeah, I do remember now because I didn't go
in. I ever caught my kid doing that shit. I'd be like, listen, man, this is going to ruin your whole life.
I'm sure the pull-out couches nowadays, Tim, they probably call 911 automatically if you do that.
Kids are too soft, if you ask me. Tom, related to that. Agoraphobia is kind of people are like, oh, it's afraid of being outside. But
yeah, I was reading about this too. Go ahead.
What it really kind of is, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is something I've been saying for like 15 years because I heard it like on the radio at some point. So I probably bastardized it.
Always repeating stuff from you've heard from the radio.
Is that it's more of like a fear of something happening.
Yes, and not being able to get help or get out.
Exactly.
Yes.
And like that's like I think like my fear of flying was like partially agoraphobia because it wasn't like
you weren't
oh,
afraid
we're
of
going
plane.
To
it was if something else happened.
If something happened to me, if I had a medical emergency.
Right, or there was a terrorist on the plane
and I couldn't get help, right? And like I think that's a thing, like, when people, like, go into this, like, I had a panic attack situation on, like, 15 years ago on the subway, where it's, like, you know, I'd get all nervous, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'd be afraid of, like, it stopping between stations,
and then
something happening.
And then I can't
happening.
Get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very funny stuff.
No, I definitely, it is kind of messed up that that's the idea that everybody thinks about agoraphobia, when I definitely don't have this all the time, but there have been a few times where I've been in a situation and I've thought, oh, what if this happened?
Oh, yeah.
I'm stuck. I'm stuck. There's no way out of this. And yeah, that's terrifying. So I get
that's
it.
Constant. That's just a constant drumbeat.
Tim,
what
you said you had a list of your top fears.
Yeah.
Would you like to maybe go through that list of your top fears?
Yeah, and
because I feel like a lot of the fears I'm talking about, I mean, I'm going over the most common fears, and not only are they common, but it's like we all get it. We all get why like snakes are scary to most people.
Snakes are scary, Tom.
But you get why they're scary to most people.
Poisonous ones?
Any kind of snake. That if you just come across a snake, you're going to be like, oh!
Yeah.
A snake.
I get it. I'm personally not afraid of like a gardener snake.
You don't even know what they're called.
Yeah. That's how little respect I have for them. That's how little brain power I have.
I never really got what the deal with gardener snake. Where I was like, wait a minute. They're just like snakes that live in the suburbs sometimes?
Yeah. And they're just not hurting anybody. Literally, not hurting anybody.
Hurting your garden.
I don't think so. They probably eat like
Help. That's why they're called gardener snakes, not garden eating snakes.
Tom, I compiled a list of just my top five non-death fears.
Top five out of 398 fears.
Yeah. And like death, of course, is always going to be the fear.
It's going
to
be
right?
up there.
Right?
Yes, of course. The fear of death.
Yeah. So number five,
mm-hmm.
Jumping off something really high. I am so afraid, Tom, mm-hmm. we've been hiking at like Yosemite together,
yes. mm-hmm.
the group, it's not like you and I took a vacation at Yosemite.
Right.
You've ever been up on like a high roof or something where it's like, and you're just like, you're afraid that like, I could jump and I might just jump because I could.
You're more afraid of your intrusive thought.
Yeah.
Of like, that happens to me all the time that I think. I would never do this, but I could right now. And in like 0.7 seconds from now, my life's over and everybody I know is devastated based on one action that will never make sense to anyone.
Exactly. And also like it would
and
be
that's
so
kinda scary.
Easy for it to happen. Like as much as like as easy as it is to like make the decision, like I'm going to change the channel on the television and watch something else. I could just like. Radically.
Yes. Well, and that, you know, a lot of people that survive suicide attempts off of like bridges and stuff. That's the story they tell that they're like the instant that like my foot was still touching the bridge when I realized, whoa, my God, that was the worst. And that, you know, that's not necessarily intrusive thoughts. It's something else. But yeah, nobody wants to.
Halloween month.
Jump off things.
Yeah. Number four.
Mm-hmm.
Choking on food when nobody's around.
Ooh, yeah, I have that fear sometimes. Yeah.
It's usually after a close call, right? You're like, man, that could have been bad.
Yeah, I remember once when I was living alone. Like, I forget what I even choked on, but like it took a minute to like get it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, not to get an erection, mind you, when I said get it up. I was erect immediately when it happened.
Of course. I mean, that's the amygdala doing its work.
That's the amygdala response. It's going to. But I remember having, at least though in New York City, it was like I could go into the hallway and bang on doors, maybe. Still the fear that like I won't even get to that point, but
especially when you're living alone, it's like who calls in a wellness check and how long does that take?
It's gonna take at least a couple of days.
Number three,
mm-hmm.
eating a slug or something similar in a restaurant meal.
Oh, like you order a salad and you don't realize a slug.
Yeah, or something gross and slimy like a slug.
Yeah.
That's the only bug that I'm afraid of, Tom.
A slug?
Or something that I'm going to eat in a restaurant meal. And I don't even care if it's like, if it's a fly or whatever, I'll eat a fly. I don't care, Tom. I've found a hair in a restaurant meal. I'll keep going. Who gives a shit? We all have hair.
Yeah, I kind of don't really care if I find a hair in a meal lately. Yeah. Like maybe if it's like baked inside, it's a little gross. But like if it's on top of it, it's like, I'll just brush that off. It's... I mean, I tell myself like.
You know, you get your brush and you go, I'm going to make it pretty.
Yeah, and I make a little locket. I put it in my locket. It's all the hairs I found in my food.
Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Choking on food when people are around. That's
the embarrassment. Yeah, of course. It's even worse than dying.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this guy doesn't even know how to eat.
What an idiot.
The number one fear, death.
Wasn't death also number five?
This is the lesson, Tom. This is the top five non-death fears. But death always finds a way.
Yeah.
It always sneaks in.
Even
you
if you're not thinking about it.
You can't escape death, Tom.
No. Mm-mm.
Even in a non-death list.
Yeah, but you think, like, maybe, though. Maybe
I mean,
I'll be the first guy.
It's never proven that I can die.
Exactly. I get that everybody else has died.
Literally everybody.
But who knows? Tim, here's some of my fears. I realize that all my fears are Now, I guess some of these aren't death-related fears, but the first one is frugophobia, the fear of freezing to death.
Mm.
I don't want to freeze to death
if
I die.
But don't you go like...
yeah, apparently it's like kind of peacefully.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't.
That's a cool thing. Maybe that's the amygdala too, where it's like, oh, this guy's gonna die, and it's gonna be unpleasant. Like, send out all the endorphins.
Yeah, you know what? We can't take them with us.
Have a good time. Yeah.
My next fear, phasmophobia. Ghosts.
Mm. Fear. Are you really afraid of ghosts?
Not day to day. But if somebody told me you have to sleep in this room tonight, and by the way, it's haunted, and there's like evidence that it's haunted, then I'll be afraid to sleep in there.
There was,
and I'll be afraid of having nightmares, fully knowing that just that fear is going to make a nightmare. So now I'm afraid of a nightmare, and then
you're afraid of a nightmare. You're afraid that tonight I'm going to have a nightmare, and like I'm going to wake up and be like,
"Yeah, that's why I keep the light on."
Let me ask you this:
nightmares, doesn't it suck? You like sometimes you have like such a vivid nightmare, and then you wake up, and it's like, I got to do a regular day. I have to pretend like that trauma didn't happen to me, because it didn't, but it feels like it did.
I haven't had a nightmare since I was 6 years old. And it was like, I vaguely remember it was a monster that ate socks in my backyard. And I just fed it socks and it was fine.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Tom, about a year and a half ago, a bunch of us got a house, with Airbnb.
Yes.
And like somebody did the research and found out that there had been a murder in that house. And like not 100 years ago, like 20 years ago or something, right? Uh-huh. Like, were you afraid of ghosts in that house, or did that make you uneasy?
No, that made me, I think because there were so many people in the house, it made me more excited than anything, because I was like, if there's a ghost.
And so many young children.
Yeah. If there's a ghost, it can't go after the kids, of course. It's not going to know that I scare just as easily. It's going to go for the easy marks. Yeah. I wasn't afraid. I'm only afraid of ghosts if I'm alone. If I'm with somebody else, come on. Come at me, ghosts.
You only got to be faster than the other person, right?
Exactly.
Is that how the joke goes?
Tim, my next fear, exophobia. Fear of extraterrestrial abduction.
I thought you're not afraid of that.
Not in the city, but I am when I'm camping.
But wouldn't you want to be abducted temporarily?
No.
Really?
No. Why? Why would I?
So you can have the experience and be like, I met aliens.
So I can have an experience that like nobody will ever believe. I'd
believe you.
I'd be confused about it like forever.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't want it.
Something to do.
If I meet them, I want them to be like.
Not everything is going to be freaking rainbows and puppies, my friend.
If they're going to abduct me, listen, I'll sign an NDA, guys. Just tell me what the deal is. Tell me who you are, where you're from, why you're here. Just
maybe they
first
will.
First date kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's all.
You want to date the aliens.
Tim, maybe I've already signed an NDA and I know all these things. My next one, I have two here, Tim, that do not have actual names.
Okay.
One is getting stuck in the gears of a machine. You ever afraid of getting stuck in the gears of a machine? Yeah. Or like falling into an elevator.
Yeah.
Or like.
Yeah, industrial accident.
Yeah, industrial accident. Some kind of like I fall in the like a mixer and it, makes me into M&Ms or something like that. That horrifies me. I don't want to be in an industrial accident like that.
Me neither.
Like a chemical spill
I share
or
that
something
fear, Tom.
Or a fire.
Yeah.
I don't want that either, but it's less horrific than just being
You'd rather die in a
made
fire
into
than
food.
Than fall into the M&M's machine?
I think so.
I'd rather live as an M&M because there's a chance that I could say.
I don't think you understand what the M&M machine does.
It does exist.
You're imagining you fall into the M&M machine and a Tim-sized M&M comes out with arms and legs.
Yeah. And it sucked to have to live the rest of my life that way. But I'd have fun
the
personality.
Thin candy shell keeping you safe. Next one that does not have a name. You know it. I know it. I'm afraid of people that are taller than me, substantially taller than me. Which is not
that
an
doesn't
actual
have a thing. That's not a thing.
Not that I could find.
You should be studied, Tom. You could just be like SM from the first segment.
I know, Tim. I've been contacting the local colleges for years, telling them you gotta get me in for a study, guys.
Instead of not being afraid of things, you're afraid of. I don't know. You're the only guy afraid of one thing.
No, it's
the world's most unique coward.
Hey, it's better than being a common one. And it's not people, because this happens sometimes when we do live shows. Somebody will come up to me and they're like an inch or two taller and they're like, give me your wallet. No, they'll ask, like, is this scare you? Are you afraid of me? I'm like, no, it's not that. It's like 6'5", 6'6", and above, because it's so rare that you see somebody that tall. It just kind of... It makes me uneasy.
Yeah. You got a weird height thing, Tom. I wonder what that's about.
Well, they don't have a name for
it. Then report back to me what they say.
My next fear, I have two more. Emetophobia, which is fear of vomiting.
Oh, really?
Actually, I don't really have it anymore, but there was a time where the idea of, I guess, like, you know, when
it's unpleasant, sure.
Yeah.
But are you afraid of it? Like, just because you try to avoid something, are you calling that a fear?
I think when I was younger, like in college and like, you know, a little outside of college, when I had like thrown up the first couple of times, maybe from drinking, it didn't give me a fear of like being drunk. But it gave me a fear of throwing up that I was like, I just don't want to throw up. I hate the way it feels. But but again, not an irrational fear. Right. The last one I do have, I guess not an irrational fear. Again, I think this is fairly common. Tephalophobia? Tephalophobia.
Use your words, Tom.
Taphophobia. There's no L. Taphophobia. The fear of being buried alive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I said it. Don't want to be in a coffin unless I'm dead.
Being in a coffin's okay to me, but being buried. Well, and again,
if the coffin is buried? That's the assumption.
Yeah, yeah. If the coffin's buried, I don't. Then all bets are off.
Yeah, no, I'm Dave Navarro style, I would sleep in a coffin.
Of course. You know what? I wouldn't sleep in a coffin. I'd be too afraid of some kind of mix up where I get buried. I wonder if Dave Navarro famously sleeps in a coffin. Is that right?
I think I saw that in an MTV news story in 1994.
He's too old to be sleeping in a coffin.
I mean, this was 30 years ago. So maybe,
he's old and he's rich.
28.
He's got a Tempur-Pedic nowadays.
Yeah. He wasn't. He's old and he's rich. He wasn't sleeping in a coffin. He's like, can't afford a bed. This is the cheapest way I could sleep. I'm sorry, but JP Moneybags. I don't have the money to buy a big fancy bed.
He had the money for a bed, but not the money for a bigger bedroom. So he had to resort to a coffin. Yeah,
probably.
I'd be fine sleeping in a coffin, Dave Navarro style, but I don't want to be buried. But again, I think it just comes down to claustrophobia, that what I'm terrified of is being buried and knowing it and not being able to get help.
Yeah.
Not being able to tell anyone. Yeah. All right.
Everything's just agoraphobia. I
need to be able to get help whenever I need it, instantly, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I don't think...
As long as it's not embarrassing.
Exactly. But I need to know that that's up to me. they'll do it.
Yeah.
And then being embarrassed is my problem. But if I call and I'm like, hey, come rescue me, if they said, no, you'll be too embarrassed, I'm like, no, I get to decide that. But that definitely happened. Like when we were in Yosemite, some of the hikes we were on, especially when we were like up in the like peaks of mountains, mm-hmm. I definitely did think, like if I fell and twisted my ankle, what's going to happen? And that, I guess, was more along the,
carried, yeah, on my
the
back, but...
embarrassment lines.
Yeah.
I didn't expect, like, yeah, I guess all these tourists will leave and I'll just die up here yeah. overnight.
No, like, if you fell and twisted your ankle, like, there were, what, six of us hiking?
Yeah, and there are rangers and everything.
And, like it would have taken a while to, yeah, like, hike back sucked. Out with you, like, leaning on, like, us taking turns yeah. having you lean on us.
Especially if I was screaming the whole way.
Yeah. Going, it's not fair. Not fair. It should have been you.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can check out our social media links there, our Discord, our Reddit. You can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
Check out patreon.com/completeguide for, especially with Halloween month coming up. Tim, I'm reading The Exorcist.
Yeah, it came down to The Exorcist versus Silence of the Lambs. Yeah,
very close. I haven't downloaded the like raw data.
I think it was like one vote.
It had to have been that close because it was one percentage point and like, a few hundred people voted maybe.
The consensus was they wanted you to read and not me. And yeah. a lot of people said it's because they didn't think I would read the book.
Yes.
I don't know if it's because I was too scared or I have a history of not reading the book when I get bored with it.
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter is probably people's primary concern. But hey, it's not your concern because the decision's been made. Patreon.com/complete guide. You get those upcoming episodes. You get all the back episodes. It's great.
You're reading The Exorcist.
I'm reading The Exorcist.
I'll watch The Exorcist.
I think we'll both probably watch it. We'll maybe go see the new one.
I kind of want to go see the new one.
Yeah. Maybe we'll watch the old one and the new one. Maybe we'll watch every horror movie ever made.
Let's do that.
Tim, any fears to go out on?
No, I'm like...
Do you have phobophobia?
What's phobophobia? The fear of fears? No, not really.
That would be like a good title for a horror movie, The Fear of Fears.
Yeah. What is it, though?
It could be anything.
Yeah, just a guy that's like...
Killing?
Yeah. I thought it would just be a guy that's afraid of everything and like needs to like, I don't know.
Oh, you're thinking like a quirky movie or something?
No, I was just thinking like a guy that needs help.
Okay, so a very serious movie.
Yeah, like sad even.
Yeah.
That's so far gone, he's beyond help.
I was looking up like a bunch of weird phobias. And the thing is, you can have a phobia about anything. You know, you have a bad experience with something.
Slugging yourself.
Especially like a traumatic experience. Yeah. Tim, one that I guess is kind of going along with what we were talking about. I can't find it now, but there's I forget what it's called, but it's a fear of getting a peanut butter stuck on the roof of your mouth.
See, that's just taking...
But I could see, like, choking on that, being afraid of that.
I could see, like, not wanting that to happen. When does that become a fear?
And also, once it's a fear, then it's like, okay, well, don't eat peanut butter then. And it's like, okay, plenty of people don't eat peanut butter. People have peanut allergies. Some people just don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
I think everybody likes peanut butter.
Like agoraphobia is going to interfere with your life, like hardcore agoraphobia. But like this isn't, you're going to be able to like go to work still and stuff.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Get over it. Just eat the peanut butter, you freaking just coward.
Lick it. It'll eventually come off. You just have to do that.
Happy Halloween month, everybody. See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.